Well, hello everyone. It's so nice to see familiar faces and know that most of you, if not all of you, know what I'm saying without a translator. And that you got that joke. Awesome. Okay. that's a real struggle with language barrier. Okay. So as most of you know, I just got back from Thailand working through Youth with a Mission, or YWAM. A decentralized global missions organization with campuses and ministries all over the world, focusing on evangelism, training, and mercy ministries. The program that I just got back from is the Discipleship Training School, or DTS. It's a 3 months in Salem, Oregon, and then 2 months overseas, and my team went to Thailand. Today I'll be sharing about my time with YWAM and what God has done through this time and an incredible experience in my life, as well as what he's doing in Thailand. I'd like to start off by saying that I feel so blessed to be here today and to have this amazing community and family to welcome me home. There are so many things that I know I used to take for granted, and I appreciate them so much now, like food, right? And I never want that to change. Speaking of being thankful, I want to express how thankful I am for your financial support and your prayers. It means so much and was so helpful to have all my funds raised and to be able to focus on learning and growing closer with God. Instead of having to go to those financial meetings every week, it turned out fine, and everyone that went came back in one piece, but it was really great to have that extra stress-free hour and just to read my Bible, and your weekly prayers were also very appreciated, and they made miracles happen, so thank you for that. The great thing about YWAM is that it is non-denominational, just Christ-centered. Each week, our lectures were provided by speakers from all different backgrounds and places and experiences. So they all had extensive knowledge. They're all devoted believers. But of course, there will always be things that we have to study for ourselves and decide what we believe. Some of the topics that we studied were the Holy Spirit, leadership of Jesus, lordship, spiritual warfare, and the Bible. Every week, I was determined to get as much from lecture as I possibly could, and I wrote down almost every word the speaker said. Everything I say today will be from my point of view, of course influenced by what I was taught, but I will be sharing all my own personal experience. Surprisingly, I wasn't able to fit the whole 5 months into this 25 minutes. So I would love to talk about any of it over coffee, share testimonies, revelations, wisdom, anytime. It's definitely my favorite topic of conversation. So hearing God's voice week of lecture and intercession, which is group prayer, opened my eyes to God's character and nature for the first time. One of the leaders told us to close our eyes and imagine a time when someone showed us love. We are told to think of how it made us feel and why it was important. After reflecting on that and hearing a couple of people's stories, they said that all of those things that were showed to us in those moments, God showed us too. That feeling of acceptance God can also give us, or a feeling of love or forgiveness. Those small moments when men and women in our lives loved us, God also showed us. And without any negativity that those women or men brought to us, God is love. That feeling of love that we get from the people around us, God is that minus any negativity. And that was so amazing. That was probably the first lesson that I learned in my DTS, and it just got better from there. A very well-known verse in the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This is a very common verse, and it's usually the first one that people memorize. But I don't think that we, or I anyways, give it enough credit or thought. For God so loved the world. Imagine someone that you've known since they were young. You've seen the experiences in their life. You've seen how they've been shaped by good or bad experiences. You've seen them grow. You've seen them make mistakes. You've seen them be successful. Imagine that love you have for that person times a million, and then times it again by a million. The Bible says that his love for us is everlasting. We hear words like that so often that when we read the Bible, that I started to forget what that really means. And this time in DTS, this was a side of God that I was really beginning to understand and just starting to see. There were so many divine appointments during my DTS that God really showed his love for me. An example is a documentary on Netflix called The Heart of Man. Someone that I know actually knows the directors and videographers, so I feel pretty cool about that. My friends and I just happened to click on it during American Thanksgiving weekend, and even though we were sobbing and we were wondering why we weren't turning it off, we made it through, and we were just marveling at God's grace, patience, and understanding for his children. It illustrated a father-son relationship where the son turns away from his father and indulges in sin after sin, and he just gets dragged away further and further until he realizes that he's trapped and he's in a cave and he's being beaten and these horrible things are happening to him and he wants to get out, but he's just too far away to help himself. But then his father, which is God, comes and rescues him, and he lets him cry on his shoulder and he cleans him up and he comforts him. But then he stays in that cave with him, because as humans, we can't get away from our human nature, from our sinful nature. But instead of being grossed out by our cuts and our wounds and our mistakes and our uncleanness, he stays with us and he helps us when we're ready. He doesn't force it because he understands that we're hurting. Throughout my DTS, God pointed out things in my life that I could do without. The things that were between him and I, like when you're hiding something from your parents, or your boss, and you don't want to talk to them because you feel like they're going to find out. So it makes you nervous, and you just kind of don't talk to them at all. But even small things like pride don't need to have a place in your life. I was realizing how much happier I was when I stopped leaning on things that would let me fall. I was turning to Netflix or to other people to distract me from what was wrong in my life instead of trying to fix it. But what still gets me, and what is still hard to believe, but I'm starting to believe it, is that every time I would bring something to God, and I admit in one way or another that I wasn't perfect, he would stay. He would stay with me, and I would feel more loved. I would feel more complete, and I would feel closer to him. He never turned away when he saw my imperfections. And it started to get easier. Not easy. Still nervous. not easy, but easier to deal with the things in my life that I never wanted to deal with before. In Spiritual Warfare week of lecture, which was week 3, basically my mind was blown. there is a difference between knowing things and storing them away in your head and knowing them in your heart. And that's something that YWAMers like to say a lot. a difference between being told something and letting it resonate with you and actually comprehending it. The idea of spirits have been taken over by Hollywood and horror movies. Our world now likes to think of ghosts and zombies and stuff when we talk about spirits. But most of the things that the world has claimed started out with the Bible. The fact is that it just doesn't make sense for there to be just God and the devil. We do have spirits. But it's more than that. There is a spirituality that we need to be aware of in the world. It's a big part of our life, and we just need to kind of realize it. God gives us authority to let in his light or darkness in ourselves. And when we ask him, even other situations or other people, our prayers, thoughts, and words make a difference because God gives us power and he trusts us with it. Look at that. Okay. along with that, we learned about the devil's lack of power. He is not like God. He is not even a competing force. He has already lost. The war is already won. He is not all places at once. He does not know what is going to happen. He can only observe and act based on what he has seen before. We are to be aware of him and not to underestimate him, because that is when we will be blindsided. But we do not need to fear him. He is not actually even described in scripture. He is only mentioned sporadically. It is not his story, it is God's. Just like how it is not even our story either. And what is so beautiful about that is that God lets us be characters in our story, and he lets us write our own plot. So in Thailand, the official religion is Buddhism/Hinduism. It's kind of the two mixed together. I was so thankful for Spiritual Warfare Week from Lecture Phase because without it, I would have been pretty confused. Before that week, I thought other religions and gods were either all in those people's heads or the enemy trying to steer them away from the true God before it was too late. I mean, until it was too late. but like I said, our voices have power and we have God-given authority. When we speak to and serve other gods, we are speaking to and giving our authority to a demonic spirit. And we are giving one of the fallen angels a name and giving it what God gave us to be ours alone. Most Thai people have these things outside their properties called spirit houses. It is so that the spirits that they serve have a place to live so they don't come into their own houses. Every morning they bring out an offering to appease these spirits, and their whole lives is a constant balancing act between keeping the good spirits happy and keeping the bad spirits at bay so that they won't curse them or unleash their wrath on them. These people are in bondage. They are always working to be good enough. They always want to have a good future for themselves and their children, but they don't know how to get it. They're just trapped. They always want to work their way up the line and receive a better life after reincarnation. Because it is what they have been told will make their lives better. Most of them have not turned away from God, and they are not spiting him. They are searching for happiness and hope and freedom while simultaneously giving it all away every day as they continue to serve these spirits. We serve a God that created us knowing that we would fall short of the glory he originally intended. But he loves us despite that, and so much so that he compensates for us in the most sacrificial way possible. We serve a God that gives us the gift of freedom, hope, love, and acceptance. We surrender our authority to him because we know that we don't deserve it. But he gives it back to us. That's amazing. Instead of living in bondage and fear, we get set free from sin and told that we are protected from it. Thailand was ready to hear about our God. Most of the people that we were able to make relationship with and that would listen to us and trust what we said were overjoyed when they heard about Jesus. We were amazed and pleasantly surprised at how many people were saved during our trip. They already knew they weren't perfect. They already knew about the spiritual realm of the world, but they didn't know how they could help themselves. They were stuck in a trap, but we were able to help them find the key to their freedom. Seeing a small child bow their head in prayer is probably one of the most beautiful and heartwarming things I've ever seen. Being able to know that there is hardship in their lives and that you can do nothing about it, but they will still be taken care of. Their overwhelming and heartbreaking circumstances are completely out of our control, and they are terrifying. And to know that they will be looked after by our Heavenly Father gives us hope and helps us know that they will be okay, even though we can't do anything. Along with the loving side of God that I was exploring during this season of my life, God is taking extra care to show me how important I am to him. Like I mentioned earlier, pride was something that I was realizing I had in my life. So I decided to undo that by focusing on humility during my outreach. And as one of my speakers, a man from Quebec, actually, he had the wonderful accent, kind of, just that little mix of Canadian, kind of lives in French Canada, you know. We were pretty cool. We were tight. he taught us that humility is seeing yourself and others as God sees you. It is not seeing anyone as better than anyone else, nor is it pretending that you have no gifts, no worth, and nothing to offer. It is recognizing that you are significant, but so is everyone else. It is seeing the truth for what it really is. And when you see the truth, you have no choice but to realize where you stand. I figured that if I focused on seeing the truth, pretty much everything else would fall into place more or less. But I had no way of knowing what God wanted to do with that. After about a week in Thailand, our ministry opportunities were slowing down a bit, and during our time at the base, only our rooms were air-conditioned, so we took every moment in our free time to be in the cool air, and I felt so useless, knowing that wherever I was, I could be sitting on a bed doing nothing. So I reached out to my leaders, and I said that I wanted more responsibility. They made me leader of team time. I let my creativity flow and came up with new ideas to spend time together as a team to process what we were feeling and what God was doing in our lives and ways that we could have fun. We also did 2 encouragement circles every week where a member of the team would sit in the middle of the circle and we would all take turns recognizing their strengths, gifts, and characteristics that we appreciated. Every week I asked God who should be encouraged, and every time I listened, everyone had the perfect thing to say to them, and later almost all of them said they had needed encouragement that day, or that out of all the people in the team, they thought it was going to be them. That was the start of me being able to see the gifts that God had given me and being able to see them as that, gifts from God that I could use and I could be thankful for, but not for me to be conceited about. It was a perfect environment for me to see and to use what I was good at, where I would be acknowledged and appreciated, but not overly praised or go unseen. This carried into teaching English at the schools, organizing skits and events, and much more. And I was able to explore my giftings, and it was so fun to see what God put in my team to use for His glory. We all complemented each other so well, and we were always where we needed to be at the perfect time. The main source of income in Thailand is the sex trade. It is technically against the law, but the authorities will not do anything about it if you point out to them illegal activity, because the government knows that it will be a huge loss to the economy if they were shutting down businesses. During our time in the South, we had the opportunity to go into the red light district in Phuket. We were as prepared as we could be, but we were all still very overstimulated by the lights, the loud music coming from all the bars and clubs, and the crowds and the sparsely clothed people all around us. It was one of the most intense experiences that most of us had had up until that point. It is one thing to go there, thinking that it is a part of the culture, that the women are paid fairly, that it is just business, no one gets hurt, and that it is empowering for them to be dressed that way. But I still don't know how someone could think that after seeing what I saw. But I understand that you don't know what you don't know or what you don't want to know. The truth is that these hundreds of women and their employers and other people that work in this area are either playing a part in human trafficking or they are being trafficked. From the young age of 8 and up, girls in Thailand are constantly at risk of being sold or abandoned by their families because they have no hope for their dollars, or they are working willingly because they are so desperate. Out of the girls that we taught English to in the elementary schools and high school during the 2 months, probably a third of them had already been involved in the sex trade in one way, shape, or form, but everyone is influenced by it. The biggest way that we can make a difference was by teaching them English and showing them love. When they know English, it triples their job opportunities and gives a much brighter future for themselves, their families, and their future children. It keeps them safe and able to provide for themselves without having to put themselves in danger. These women asking you for business, you look in their eyes and you see nothing. You see no hope, no happiness, no joy, no love. And you can see by the plastic surgery or the clothes or the way that they hold themselves that they feel worthless. There is no way to know the last time someone showed them genuine love. A smile had never felt so meaningful as when I smiled at this one lady while I was walking past her. She had lip injections, Botox in her whole face, overly penciled in eyebrows, and the usual white makeup that Thais think is beautiful. When I smiled at her, her whole face lit up, and she smiled back at me, and she held my eye contact for as long as she could. And I could see a spark in her eye that wasn't there before, and I can still see her in my mind. On our way back to the base, after the first night in the red light district, most of my team and I were crying. There was an eerie silence as we all contemplated who we had just met and what we had seen. I found myself pleading for these people, the customers that were searching for something on all the wrong places, and the women that were lacking and they knew it. I wanted them all to feel loved. I wanted them all to have hope. I wanted to see that street empty and deserted and quiet. I told God that I would do anything for them. I would do whatever it took to see them set free. But after letting me go on a little bit, God got my attention again. And so clearly I heard him say these 3 words. I already did. Jesus died on the cross. He went through all that torture for them. I didn't have to do anything but tell them that. They can be set free. Jesus did all the work for them. Everything that they are clinging to right now, everything that is trapping them, everything they are involved with right now. Jesus did what it took for them to be set free. Every mistake, every battle they are fighting, every negative feeling that they are feeling, Jesus defeated it all. My eyes were opened, and my perspective on life itself, salvation, and love were changed forever. I had never realized just how much he cares for each one of us. I had already established that he was a loving God, but he cares for each one of us. The appreciation that I had for us individually was, it's just so beyond that. He cares for each of us specifically, and that is so incredible. The next day, I would just look at the people around me and just think, wow, God really loves you. I was realizing unique gifts about people and the things that day before I would probably think were flaws, either in their appearance or their personality, just the little things that we see as people, that we see as imperfections. But now I could see that was a specific quality that God put in that person, and he loved it. So imagine what he thought of me. These gifts that I was starting to notice about myself, and even the weird things that I was finding out about, God knew, and he knew this whole time. And God knew this whole time. It's a lot easier to love someone when God shows you how much he loves them. God chooses to see the good in us. He doesn't want us to see the bad in ourselves. If the creator of the universe doesn't see any bad in you, then why should we? I'd like to paint a picture for you of one of the Thai churches that we attended. Close your eyes. Thank you. Okay. And picture a building about the size of this center row of pews here. The stage takes up about the first two or three rows. There's a podium at the front of the stage, and it's made out of wood with a microphone at the front, and it echoes a bit when you talk into it. The congregation sits on plastic lawn chairs that are different shapes, and most of them can't stack together because they are warped or cracked or different styles. The ground, walls, and ceiling is all concrete or tile, and there's a very small doorway to get in. You can open your eyes now. When we first arrived at this church, there was a herd of people so excited to greet us. They were jumping up and down, the little kids, and they were craning their necks to see inside of the vehicles. They were so excited to welcome the newcomers, just these people that they could share their day with. On our way inside, we took off our shoes, and behind the door, in this little space away from the crowd, the most adorable little boy was hiding and laughing at the commotion. I still have a picture of him on my phone. The woman and some of the girls were wearing their traditional garments. They were all dressed up and showing respect for church. They sing songs that have actions and pray with the most amazing passion in their voice. Even though you don't understand a word you're saying, they could be speaking gibberish. There's no way to know they're speaking a language at all. You know that they are talking to their Father in heaven, and he hears them. This village is probably the first Christian village in the region. Every member of the village is at this church, from age 0 to 100 probably. They started with about 40 members, which is amazing, and now they have over 150, which is incredible. They let us sit at the front, and every other chair was full, and there was a group of people, mostly mothers or grandchildren, or grandmothers with their grandchildren, either their own or the village orphans that get taken into homes or just taken care of by whoever can that day. And quite a big group. It's quite big. This building is overflowing with people, and it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. There's people standing outside the barred windows, just like looking around each other to see what we were saying and see what the pastor was speaking at the front, and you could hear on all angles, "Amen," every time you prayed. It was amazing. We all admired their commitment so much. The Holy Spirit was so present in that village. You could tell that they had all witnessed his freeing power, that they had been saved, and they were going to sing about it. The Thai culture is so amazing. It is welcoming and kind and joyful and considerate and hospitable and loyal. They value families and elders and children. They value education and growth, and they know how to love. My team and I were continuously surprised by the fruits of the Spirit that they showed. It was actually kind of confusing how someone that doesn't know God can be filled with so much joy. One of our speakers from South Africa was talking about God's heart for the nations, how every culture has its negatives, but every culture is so, so beautiful because every culture has a part of God in it. And in this country, I saw a different part of God's heart, and I want to bring some of that back to Canada and to the Western world. If these people that don't know God and go through so much and have so little can have so much joy, then can't we have joy too? Do you want to be like the people in the church on the mountain in the tiny village? They have every reason to say that they don't have time for church, or they're too busy to live life for God, or that they're too hungry. I don't know. But every Sunday, they come crowding into their small building. Every Sunday, they're hungry for the gospel, hungry for love and hope and acceptance and to serve Jesus. They have to work tirelessly every day, either in the rice fields or away from their families or making their brooms out of the long grass or other household tools and taking care of the village orphans and their own children and serving the elders and trying to feed themselves and their own families. And yet they still get to church every Sunday. The young and the old, the sick and the healthy. That is such a good example of pursuing God. Putting things aside that happen in our everyday lives and giving it to God and deciding to choose Him over the stress, other priorities, and things that want our attention. Not everyone has the time, money, or calling to do a DTS. But that doesn't mean that we can't all still be learning about God every day and getting to know Him better. I want to make sure you know that God is not comparing you to someone that has done a DTS. He's not comparing you to the Thai people that attend church every day. He's not comparing you to the person sitting beside you either. He's comparing you to you. All He sees is you. He sees the good about you. So, are you going to choose to see God today?